If you're a founder, you know that fundraising is a big part of the job. What you might not know is that Carta is there to help. Carta's new fundraising suite provides startups of all stages the best tools and support to easily issue SAFEs, accurately forecast dilution, and quickly close funding rounds. Save time, money, and make your next round your best yet. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise. Welcome to Inks for Starters with Alexa Von Tobel. I'm Alexa, a serial entrepreneur myself and founder and managing partner of Inspired Capital, a venture firm that backs fearless founders who are solving some of the biggest challenges facing humanity. Now in our sixth season, we sit down each week with one of the best founders on the planet to hear their story of guts, inspiration, and drive. Let's dive right in. Hi, everybody. I'm Alexa Von Tobel, your host. And this week, I'm so excited for you to meet my friend, Melissa Bernstein, co-founder of iconic toy company, Melissa & Doug, and co-founder and chief creative officer of Lifelines, which helps anyone find joy and wonder in life's everyday moments. Melissa co-founded Melissa & Doug with her husband in 1988. She spent the past 30 years helping children everywhere discover themselves, their passions, and their purpose through open-ended play. Melissa has designed over 5,000 innovative products for children of all ages and sold billions of dollars of toys around the world. Now, after her personal journey of self-discovery and acceptance, Melissa and Doug are reinventing well-being products for adults and helping them strengthen their resilience, spark joy and creativity, and unlock their full potential through their new venture called Lifelines. Let's welcome my friend, Melissa. Melissa, I am so excited to have you here. Welcome.
I would do anything for you, Alexa.
My whole house is filled with Melissa and Doug as mom of three. So let's start with your first entrepreneurial endeavor, Melissa and Doug. Let's go back to the early days in 1988, the aha moment, the founding story. And don't spare us a detail because you're quite literally Melissa and there was also quite literally a Doug.
Gosh, it's not as glamorous as some would think. And I think that's one of the keys of entrepreneurship is it's so much hard work and blood, sweat, and tears. And honestly, really not knowing what the heck you're doing when you start. Doug and I decided that we weren't corporate people and we weren't going to work in that setting. And we needed to do something where we felt like we were impacting humanity in some bigger way. And we honed in on children because we love children and all of our parents are involved in education in some way. And I think then it was about, okay, what are we going to do? And like anything, there's no one right idea. You know, we had all kinds of ideas that spanned the globe from, you know, starting a school to doing in that day and age, like videos to help students understand what colleges were like and how to better select one to tangible physical products. And we ended up kind of closing our eyes and just sort of picking a route. People think there's this defining moment. The defining moment was children. But in terms of what we could have done, we knew that we were really hardworking and that we would never quit and that we were so passionate about impacting children that no matter what it was, that we would give it our very best shot.
How did you just go from zero to one? What did that first chapter look like?
Those were the days, at least in our mind, that we never thought about getting an investor, and we were doing it based on our meager savings. So it involved doing crazy things like eating turkey hot dogs and ramen for two meals a day because we could only afford 50 cents for a meal for both of us, and living at home until our later 20s, like about 27, because we couldn't afford rent, and growing very, very slowly and creating our first product, you know, painstakingly ourselves doing every single thing and only hiring out the skills that we knew we didn't possess and using our savings to do that. So it was painstaking and grueling, but we knew there wasn't really a choice because we wanted and needed this to succeed, and we weren't going back. We were never going to work for anyone else again.
So you go after this mission. There's so many things that I was astounded by, but one of them is that you personally designed all 5,000 plus products. As somebody who has truly bought dozens of your products, how did you approach product development? How did you think about it?
Well, you know, the crazy thing is I never even associated with being a creative person. And throughout my life, I actually associated creativity with like really odd, weird people. And even though I was that person, I didn't want to be associated with those type of people because I wanted to fit in and be seen as really cool. So I never even thought I could design a product. And I never took a design course. And, you know, my first job was in investment banking of all things. So I think, you know, we started with a couple basic products. And I really didn't find my groove until a few years in when we were just one day kind of brainstorming as we were driving about our favorite products as children. And we honed in on books that we liked called Pat the Cat and Pat the Bunny, which were tactile books. And I think one of us said, wow, wouldn't it be cool if there were a puzzle that had textures? And then we started to talk about like timeless classic toys from yesteryear that were sort of the hallmark of our childhood. And like what had happened to all these beautiful wood, timeless classic toys? And that one question was really the genesis for all of Melissa and Doug. We started visiting toy stores. You didn't go on the internet then. There was no internet. So the only way you found things out was literally like, let's go to a toy store and let's ask them, do you have wooden toys? Do you have wooden puzzles? And what we realized is they did, but they were awful. They were dull, boring, lackluster, super expensive, and just not something that a child would ever want to play with. And that was kind of our first like, that's weird. Like we love solid wooden toys. And if we were to have children, which we didn't have when we started, like that's what we would want for them. What if we can take a dull, boring, lackluster category and we can reimagine and reinvent it to become something that has pizzazz and that children and parents are really attracted to. And we can do it at a really accessible price point so that great quality, beautiful, timeless playthings can be accessible to everyone.
Well, so your first breakout, the big breakout product was the fuzzy puzzle, which even just talking about it sounds fun. When did you know like, oh, wow, something is working?
So the amazing thing about breakout products is you know immediately. Because before that, we had three products that were like, oh, they destroyed me. Because when you're trying to sell, and I called it a mystery in a box, when you're trying to sell something that doesn't readily explain itself to the consumer, it's exhausting. And it takes a miracle to make those catch on, right? Because every sale is like laborious. So we had these products that were so difficult and I was selling them and they were taking like all the life out of me. Because when you sell something, when you sell it to a retailer and you know it's not going to fly off a shelf, it's a really hard sell. So our first fuzzy puzzle, we came out with two of them actually. And the really crazy thing was one of them became a breakout.
Wow.
It became one of the best products ever. The other one, not so much. And it was purely themed. The farm did exceptionally well. The jungle did and wasn't nearly as good. But we knew because suddenly we were getting calls like, this is incredible. I need more of them.
Let's talk a little bit about how you got product distribution. You cold called independent toy companies and literally went one by one. What did you learn about go-to-market over the many years of running Melissa and Doug that you could pay it forward to everyone listening?
So perhaps the most innovative thing we did wasn't even necessarily our products. It was our go-to-market strategy. Because in those days, there were manufacturers and there were retailers and there were middle people in between them called manufacturers reps that took the products from the little manufacturers like us and got them into the stores. And we knew right away that we did not want to use those middle people. Because we had, you know, one, two little products. These reps had huge binders of products. And we knew that if we got in that big lump of catalogs, we were never going to see the light of day. So we did something extremely rebellious and not seen as very kind by our industry. We decided that we were going to cut out the rep and we were going to go directly to retailers. And we started by doing it in our little beat up cars and truly driving from store to store, just without appointment. We would just show up and say, hi, is there anyone we can show our product to? And really beg them on bended knee to carry a few of our products and do it on a complete guarantee. Like, we had to offer everything. And it is the most exhausting, laborious thing ever. Doug would go one direction, I'd go the other. And like at the end of the day, maybe we visited, you know, 12 stores, but it wasn't enough to scale. And that's when we thought, okay, we need a different model. We like this direct model, but we need a different one to be able to scale. And that's when we adopted what we called telesales.
Wow.
And it was really a way of calling these retailers on the phone, not direct, no appointments, and really having beautiful hour-long, incredible, life-changing conversations with them that ended up in also not only becoming their therapist and learning about their store and becoming incredibly close with them, but also at the end of the day, selling them some products too.
Basically, you didn't follow the rules. You said, we live in a category that's doing X, but let's just reimagine them and not think about the current playbook. And let's reimagine doing things differently.
Yes, exactly. We knew that if we didn't do that, our product wouldn't stand a chance. And I think one of the things, you know, that was key, I think a lot of entrepreneurs get too high and mighty on what they're doing, and they kind of think everything is going to be great. We were the opposite. We actually always believed that if we didn't go back to the basics and really educate everyone and treat them all like gold and make sure they cared about our product more than anybody else's, that we would inevitably fail.
Melissa, one of the things I know when you and I were together in person, we talked about that I really loved is this concept of if you really put your head down and work really hard for a decade and just pour your heart into it every day, one day you're going to look up and not only have gone so much farther, you actually may have also outrun every competitor you have, which is precisely what happened to you. What is your mentality on resilience, endurance?
I mean, it's everything. You know, we did this for 32 years,
wow,
which is really not the norm. But to do it for that long, one, you have to be so passionate about what you're doing, and your mission has to literally be woven into the fabric of who you are, because otherwise you don't have a chance. And then the second thing is you need affective, emotional support. Because honestly, if Doug and I hadn't been together, there isn't a chance we would have made it. I mean, what we faced was so difficult. So many times we would literally be curled up in bed, you know, under the covers, just shaking at all the things that were going wrong at the moment. The fact that, you know, we had each other, and when I was really negative and cup half empty, he was positive. And it was sort of like we were like a seesaw, you know, and we would support each other during the times when we were like, we can't, and we would say all the time, we can't do this anymore. Like, this is too hard. We must have said that, you know, 1,000 times.
Yeah, no, I'm only laughing because I agree with you so deeply, which is why you're really crazy because you have now launched a new company. So,
by the way, the one thing we said is we will never start another company.
And here we are. So totally switching gears. You now fully have decided to start a new venture, a new company called Lifelined. First, just what's the thesis, the mission? I mean, I could talk about it, but I want to hear you talk about it. And why? What's the why?
It's a great question. And I think, you know, I'm so fortunate to have been bitten by the bug of a mission twice in my life. I think most people are not even bitten once. And I, you know, I'll get emotional if I talk about it. I mean, to feel something so powerfully that it transcends yourself and transcends tangible product, by the way, is so meaningful to me. And it has nothing to do with a Melissa and Doug toy. And the crazy thing is, because we didn't plan on doing this again, is my whole, you know, journey of self-discovery and awareness led me to another really powerful revelation that was so strong that I felt like I couldn't just keep it to myself, that I needed to share it with the world as someone who has been stuck in her head for so many years. You know, I've lived with a lot of darkness as a creative. I think I ponder higher realities, and some of them are really dark and I can get stuck in them. I've ad nauseum tried to find ways to interrupt my stress response. and holistic ways, because I am a creative. I've been very nervous about resorting to anything medicinal, you know, to get there. So I've had to develop all these tools, and everything I would try made me even more stressed and judgmental. You know, I was trying meditation, I was trying yoga, I was trying mantra and breath work. And I was like, Melissa, you are inept. You cannot do any of this. And it was making me even more stressed out. And I had an epiphany one day that if I can harness the power of my senses, I immediately untethered from my intrusive thoughts. And it was immediate, it was effortless, and it was so enjoyable. Wow. And that became this epiphany that if we can use immersing our senses to interrupt the stress response, we can actually have it as a tool in our well-being toolbox and really get into a state of calm and joy much more effortlessly.
First of all, I love that so much. And I love that Lifelines is really coming out of a very personal journey. And in some ways, it even strikes me that you made toys that were about being screen free and about a genuine alternative to technology and getting us to be unleashed creatively. And in some ways, it actually feels like a continuation of Melissa and Doug, which is it's about being in touch with our creativity and our body and being healthy. Talk a little bit about what Lifelines will do. And let's talk about some of the core products. But it just feels actually like a new company that like picked up right where Melissa and Doug ended to help continue this well-being for humanity and in some ways even for kids.
That's so beautiful. And it is. It's so much akin to Melissa and Doug because, again, it's really accessing the inner child in all of us. And the inner child just wants to be free and play and feel joy every single day. And I think we've become, right, so entrenched in just the drudgery of living and the 24/7, right, cycle that we have to be doing more and getting more and being more, that it's really snowed us under. For me, it's very much about practice. You know, I don't believe products are a panacea for anything, right? No Melissa and Doug toy is going to like make you a resilient, imaginative, resourceful adult, but it can be a catalyst to unleashing your own innate power of your imagination. It's the same thing here, right? We're creating sort of tools that immerse your senses in delightful stimuli, but one of our grounding stones alone isn't going to do anything. It's not going to make you this beautiful, like relaxed, confident person. However, if it is a tool in your daily deliberate well-being practice, then it becomes a really fun part of your own self-care. And that's what my journey became.
So I know we're early into building this business and it's already sold in many, many places. Give us a sense of what's the fuzzy puzzle so far for Lifelines?
It's an amazing question. And we do have a few.
Yay!
It's that same incredible feeling when you know you have something. And by the way, to create an actual like 4-foot section of best-selling products, it takes years because as a product designer, you know, most of what I create is not like that miracle product. Most of what I create goes on my, I used to call it my wall of shame. And what you do is you sift through it, you pull out the gold nuggets, you lean into it, you add more fuel on the fire that's already burning, and you know, painstakingly create this beautiful section of products over years. And that's what we did. And our two best sellers, strangely enough, are in the writing category. Our number one seller are our colored pencils, which are for adults. They're like sophisticated adult scents that harken back to like nostalgic moments. We have a sensory pen that's actually a beautiful like buttery ballpoint writing experience with scent integrated into it. So it's actually in a way not surprising because what I love to do is take something incredibly familiar and inject just some little twist of pizzazz to elevate it. And I think it's that familiarity. Everyone gets it, but it's a twist on it that they've never seen before.
My four-year-old loves her scented markers. And I'm like, yeah, we all miss our scented markers, and they make you feel safe and joyful. And that's such a fun insight that both of them are a writing product and that both of them are the scents.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward. You've so much work to do with Lifelines, and it's really about helping provide people joyful anxiety outlets. What's your mission? If you fast forward a decade, what are you hoping that you create here?
I really want everyone to develop a daily deliberate practice for being their most resilient, awake, aware selves from preschool on. The underpinnings of Lifelines is a practice, a well-being practice. And if we all developed one from preschool on, then when something hits us, like COVID, like an illness, like a job loss, any curveball, we would have the tools to help us bolster our resilience to handle those things.
And we'll be right back after a message from our sponsors. Alexa here. Not only do I get the opportunity to speak with all types of founders on For Starters, but I'm a repeat founder myself. We all know how vital fundraising is to a startup. Carta knows this too. That's why they had founders in mind when they created their fundraising suite, providing tools and support to take the friction out of fundraising. They save founders time and money, allowing you to focus on your goals, not the admin work needed to close a round. From simply issuing safes to quickly receiving funds, Carta Fundraising Suite helps their cap table customers raise a better fundraising round. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise. Melissa, I want to transition to you. I want to go back to the beginning. And I want to ask the question, did you always know in your heart that you were going to be a founder?
I actually never had any sense that I would ever be an entrepreneur. And I would say I was a very troubled child growing up. I pondered things like mortality and things that a young child shouldn't be pondering. And because I was given sort of the message, like, people don't think about those things when they're children and you should go out and play like the other kids. So I anchored to some things that I think a lot of women especially anchor to when they want to fit in and don't feel they do. And for me, it was like, I call it the three P's. It was perfectionism, needing to perform, and basically everything I did needed to be A plus and 100%. It was pleasing. I needed to be this person who basically sacrificed herself and did what anyone and everyone expected of me. And then it was performance. I had to pretend that everything was good and give this shiny face that like everything was great and whatever it took to fit in. So I would say I repressed basically a whole bunch of who I was and anchored to what I felt I needed to be to fit in.
Thank you so much for sharing something that's so raw and powerful. And I'm just really grateful. It also really understands how you think and want to build Lifelines. So thank you. I want to transition to an important question, which is you and your husband, Doug, have been building things together literally for decades. Teach us, what makes that work between you two?
It's an amazing question. I talk to so many entrepreneurs about team, and I think team is the reason so many entrepreneurial ventures fail. And I think of a team as a pie, and basically every team member represents a slice of the pie or a few slices of the pie. And what often happens is team members, especially if they're like founding partners, are the exact same slices of the pie. And that never works, right? You can't have two people who are fighting about the same things and no one has the autonomy and authority to make decisions. But the lucky thing about Doug and me is that we are literally two halves of the pie, two different halves. And I think, you know, his skills and desires and things he really loves to do are not the things that I would ever want to do. And the same goes true for me and him, so that we were able, just the two of us, to really build, you know, quite a large business because we each were different slices of the pie. We trusted each other implicitly to get our stuff done in our slice of the pie. And then whenever we had a question, we came together and we were able to help, you know, guide each other if we had questions in our slice of the pie.
Melissa, in so many ways, what you really are is an inventor. Truly, you're an inventor. You're somebody who comes up with new products over and over. Where does that creativity come from? How do you refill your cup regularly in the creative way that is necessary for you to invent?
It's an amazing question. Creativity for me and everybody who's truly creative comes from one thing. You know, it comes from having a beginner's mind. So basically, I never believe I know anything. And I truly try to start the day wiping the slate completely clean and being like an open vessel just to discover and explore. And I never see things as they are. I see them with all the potential of what they have to be. So I'm always asking the question, why? I'm always taking things that have been the same way for a long time and saying, why are they this way? Why can't they be different?
Melissa, I want to ask this question because I do know you. I know you are just such a soulful human being. What do you hold as sacred in life?
I mean, what's sacred for me is never making a decision for extrinsic reasons. You know, I'm a big believer that if you start from that beautiful spiritual blank canvas place and you truly use your lens on the world to conceive something novel and relevant, that it will be the right thing. And if it's not, you'll listen to feedback and turn it into the right thing.
Okay, Melissa, I'm going to move to the quick fire round. I want to ask a question, first thing that comes to your mind. There's no right answers, no wrong answers. Let's go. What gets you out of bed every single day?
Channeling the chaos into tangible form.
Melissa, what is your favorite interview question that you like to ask?
My favorite question is, how do you play? If you had a day to yourself, tell me exactly what you would do during that day.
Oh, Melissa, I love that answer. How do you play? That is such a good one. I'm absolutely going to steal it. That's great. What is a quote that you live by?
My favorite quote is by a Nobel Prize winning physicist, Albert Gonzi, who said, "Discovery is seeing what everyone has seen, but thinking what no one has thought."
What's one thing that you wish you knew before you ever started anything?
It's a great question. I think it would have been the power of one's intuition to guide them. And, you know, I've always been a believer in intuition, but I think early on, I was terrified at going against what so many older and wiser wannabe mentors would tell us. And I think had I been, you know, both of us, Doug and I, been stronger about really staying true to who we were, we would have saved ourselves a lot of time and energy fighting people who were telling us to be things we're not.
What is your biggest pinch me moment to date?
It's the simple things, to be honest with you. I think it's the stories of products that have truly changed people's lives. We've been fortunate to get so many incredible letters from parents, but people who've said things like, my child has special needs, and said their first word using one of your products. We've had many children who've passed away and have been buried with their favorite toy, which is ours. We've had children who've been comforted by the death of a pet with one of our stuffed animals who sleeps with them and reminds them of one of their pets. So I think, you know, the simple stories of how something that we created from the depths of our soul can actually touch someone and bring them some comfort. It's as simple as that. It's one story at a time.
That is a very, very powerful pinch me moment. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to learn more, please check out lifelines.com. Pick up a Melissa and Doug toy everywhere and think of Melissa. And you can join us for next week with a new episode of For Starters with Alexa Von Tobel. Melissa, on the most sincere note, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being somebody I admire and look up to. You really are a special mind, and I'm so grateful for you being here today. Thank you.
I feel the very same about you. You are an extraordinary human, and I am better for having met you. So thank you for allowing me to be on this incredible podcast.